Good evening. My name is Rebecca Heaton, and I'm joined by fellow League members Sue Sheriff and Linda Witt. On behalf of the League of Women Voters of Tanana Valley, I'd like to welcome you to tonight's forum and thank both candidates and local residents for being here tonight. The League of Women Voters, founded in 1920, is a nonpartisan political organization that encourages the informed and active participation of citizens in government. We work to increase understanding of major public policy issues and influence public policy through education and advocacy. Tonight, we will hear from candidates in both our borough mayor and assembly races. We will begin with candidates running for mayor, followed by candidates for the borough assembly, seats A, F, and G. Before we begin, I'd like to highlight a few forum procedures. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for opening remarks and 1 minute to respond to the moderator's questions. Throughout the forum, a timekeeper will hold up signs to indicate when you have 15 seconds remaining and when you must stop. Time limits for all comments will be strictly enforced. We will rotate the order in which candidates are questioned. Voters in the audience will have an opportunity to submit succinct written questions on the cards provided. Questions will be screened by League members to avoid duplication and ensure that they are applicable to all candidates. You will have 30 seconds to answer these questions. If time permits, candidates will also have 2 minutes for closing remarks. We will now hear 2 minute opening statements from candidates running for Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor. Here tonight is Christopher Quist, Robert Shields, Bryce Ward, and Nadine Winters. Our current borough mayor, Carl Castle, is not seeking re-election. We will begin with Mr. Quist, followed by Mr. Shields, Mr. Ward, and then Ms. Winters. Mr. Quist.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody coming out tonight and everybody listening on the radio. Thank you to the League of Women Voters of the Tanana Valley for hosting this forum at such an important time for our community and civic engagement in general. Thank you to the folks out at KUAC for carrying us on the air so that people who can't be here in person tonight can listen to us. My name is Christopher Quist, and for the last 4 years, it's been my pleasure and my privilege to serve for you on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. I was born here in Fairbanks. I attended the area public schools. I was at Wood River, Ryan Junior High, and West Valley before going on to UAF, and then I went to school on the East Coast at Columbia University before being called back home by way of Washington and graduating from the University of Washington. I came back to Fairbanks. I took a job at the Boys and Girls Club. And from there, I thought I was going to be an educator. I ended up starting two small businesses, a coffee company and a restaurant, and also found myself in public radio, where I've always had a passion for ideas and conversation and public broadcasting is a place where that is really at home. So that's why I've been at KUAC myself for the last 8 years. And for the last 4 years, I've served on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, where I've worked hard to make sure that education is funded to a high level and that we live in a borough with a high quality of life where we can work to control our air pollution problem. And thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for everyone listening at home. My name is Robert Shields, and I'm running for Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor because for the last 20 years, I have known that things were going to get worse. I have seen how things have continued to get worse, and when I was in high school here, I didn't know what to do about it, but I wanted to serve. And so I dedicated my career and my education to figuring out what the challenges really were and what kind of solutions would bring us a higher quality of life while reduce the cost of living. Now, I'm running for mayor at this time because for the last decade, I've worked here in the community to try to bring common sense solutions that are working in other places around the world. We've hosted annual solar tours year after year, seen more solar being developed by individuals, but told it's too expensive by the utility while they continue to invest in coal. I'm running because we need solutions to the challenges, and there are solutions. In 1984, anaerobic digesters were installed in the city of Portland. They were providing waste. They were providing heat and power from the city's waste. These are opportunities I think we should be utilizing too. There's a lot of solutions to help us move forward, and we need to be utilizing these in an innovative fashion. We need to be harnessing public-private partnerships in order to be able to get where we're going and have a clear vision. And that is the perspective that I bring to the Borough Assembly and to the community, is to try to find ways to make sure that regardless of what happens in the outside world, we can thrive. And that is the one I've been trying to accomplish, and that's as mayor, I hope to continue down that path.
All right, thank you to the League of Women Voters for having this forum this evening. My name is Bryce Ward. I'm running for the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor. I was born and raised here in the community and have graduated from our local school district, both elementary, middle, and high school. Also had the opportunity to attend CTC and get an associate's degree in business with a certificate in management, where I then started a construction business in North Pole. I've been the North Pole City Mayor for the last 6 years, serving the great people out there. Some of the issues that we've worked on, that I've worked on in the past, one of them is increasing our fiscal transparency and ability to read and understand our budgets. That's something that I took very seriously in North Pole. Some of the issues that been able to tackle is the water quality issue that we have in North Pole with the groundwater contamination. It was part of, in conjunction with our council, the settlement agreement, which provides expanded water service to the areas affected in the city and then also outside the city of North Pole. And then also dealing with other complicated issues, such as the shuttering of the refinery and the air quality issues. The things that I see coming up in the future is the big issues for the borough. First is our air quality. Second is our cost of energy. These two things are really intimately connected, and our ability to address both of those require us to work collaboratively as a community. We need to do things to clean up our air. I know folks in this community that have had to leave because they're unable to breathe in the wintertime. I also know folks that have had to leave because they're unable to heat their homes. And so that's a complicated issue that requires us to look at things comprehensively and really try to understand where both, if you will, parties are coming from, both of those issues. The next issue I think that we need to tackle is our deferred maintenance. We need to look at a long-range plan on how we deal with our infrastructure. There are opportunities through, I think, efficiencies. But then also potentially public-private partnerships where we partner with folks in the community to help capitalize those costs over the long term.
Thank you to the League for putting this forum on. Thank you for everyone here and everyone who's listening. I'm Nadine Winters. I've got a lot of local government experience. I worked in the mayor's office for 10 years, for three mayors actually, and I served a couple terms on the assembly. So I have quite a bit of experience, but it's not just the... you know, not just time elapsed experience. I think that I pride myself on when I did serve on the assembly and in the mayor's office that I had the ability to craft some creative solutions to some of our problems. I think one of the things that I thought was good was, you know, this community has been waiting 75 years for the private sector to bring natural gas, and that didn't happen. So when I was on the assembly, I crafted the ordinance that created the Interior Gas Utility. And the gas utility's sole purpose is to bring the lowest cost energy possible to as many people in the borough as possible. It has a public purpose. Sometimes when the private sector can't do it, it is appropriate for public purpose. Another one was Eielson. We were going to lose Eielson, lose the F-16s to budget sequestration. And it was a great partnership of all level of governments, business and labor, and we all got together and we basically turned that around, and the impacts on that would have been, the impacts if we had not done that would have been huge economic impacts. So I'm running for mayor because I want to bring those same skill sets to bear. I think that Fairbanks is one hand facing growth because of the F-35s coming into the community, but I think y'all might have noticed that the price at the pump is going up, and so you know, in one hand, the state, that's good for us and good for the state coffers, the price of oil goes up, but conversely, there's, it tends to be a negative impact on residents and businesses because of increased utility costs. So I think it's a balancing act, and I think I'm particularly well equipped to do that. So thank you.
And this is Sherry George speaking now. I'm going to be asking some of the questions, and then Rebecca will be prompting each candidate for to keep going so that she can you can see. So we'll move on to our first question. A reminder, you have 1 minute to answer each question, and again, our timekeeper will let you know when there's 15 seconds remaining. Our first question will begin with Mr. Shields. And I'll read the question, and then if any of the rest of you need us to repeat the question, we can read it again. So here's question number one. As an elected official, you will be faced with decisions that may divide the community, such as how to reduce harmful PM2.5 air pollution, which now has us listed as the most polluted city in the U.S. How would you work with the various areas and diverse populations in the borough and make difficult decisions on this issue so the community doesn't suffer more severe economic and health consequences?
We'll begin with Mr. Schmidt.
Well, good evening. Okay, so that's a good heavy question here. So basically right now, during the last couple of months, you know, the solutions that I want to work on, I've brought those and gotten support from the far left and the far right. I helped organize some of the early clean air rallies. And I've gotten a lot of support recently from the wood burners. And the reason is because I've been working on common sense solutions that fix the issues that we can all work on together. And basically, I've been trying to bring those things that other people are working on in other parts of the world. And I have been able to open dialogues with people from a diverse background and help them understand what the opportunities are and how we can capitalize on them for creating a better future, for moving us forward. And I think that's something that I can continue to do. I work reasonably well with reasonable people, and I can help a lot of people move forward. The conversations that we need to have are finding out what else has been working and how we can adopt that here.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Now we'll hear from Ms. Nadine Winters.
On air quality, I don't think there are any easy answers to the air quality. I think that we've been discussing it for years and years, and as you can see, there's still an initiative on the ballot to say no local, to take the control away locally. I think the deadline is the end of 2019, and I think, to be perfectly honest, we're going to have to pick the least onerous control measures. Control measures are an EPA term, not a local one, but pick the least onerous control measures and implement them. I think if not, that the impacts to the community's health and economic viability are just going to be severely impacted, and not in a good way.
Thank you, Ms. Winters. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Bryce Ward.
Thank you. The issue of air quality in particular, I think, is one that has unfortunately divided our community. When we look at the way that I think the mayor could bring folks together, we have a great example of that that's already being done right now, and that's the stakeholder group. Where we have folks from every different industry, every different affected group that are sitting down, getting educated on the issues, getting educated on the things that are at play, the things we have to lose as a community. I think things like that are critically important and for us to be able to move forward. The biggest thing that I learned when I first got into elected office was you have to listen, and that means keep your mouth shut. That's something that I think I can bring to the table is listening to the folks concerned, being able to try to, if you will, walk a mile in their shoes so that you can understand the issues that are at play, and then ultimately sit down and work on consensus. There's a lot that we all agree on. It's those few particular items that we need to address.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mr. Christopher Quist.
Thank you. Mayor Ward had it right there. We have to listen to each other and these are difficult decisions, and this is really the most significant issue that's facing our community currently. And ballot proposition 4 is the most significant thing that we'll be voting on Tuesday. There are decisions to be made and regulations to be put in place and enforced, and we need to be making those rules how we have been, and we need to continue to enforce those rules. and we don't have complete control over the situation. But as long as we, if we don't pass Prop 4, we can still have input into the regulatory process and control. Enforcement to a certain extent is control. But we need to involve everybody. And one thing that's very important is that wood is not going away and will always be part of the heating economy here. But we need to regulate this in the most least restrictive fashion possible.
Thank you, Mr. Quist.
Okay, question number two, we will begin with Mr. Ward. The mayor represents the borough to our state legislature and our federal government. What will be your priority, and how will you advocate when advocating for our borough's needs?
Mr. Ward.
Yes, thank you. So the borough has a very interesting function, if you will, in the state. We provide the local level of services, if you will, that the state ultimately is the one that is chartered to provide. So the cities, the boroughs, are jurisdictions of the state. So it's critically important that I think our legislators understand the function that we provide is really doing the job of the state. And that goes back to the federal level as well, is being able to relay that message that we're providing services to our residents that are ultimately state residents and this country's residents. So I think that relaying that message is important. I think I would be able to do that responsibly, respectfully, and to be able to address the issues that we have in our community and how they affect our community.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mr. Quist.
Thank you. So I currently serve as the chair of the Capital Projects and Legislative Priorities Committee for the Borough Assembly. And there we work with the mayor's office and we develop a list of this community's priorities for capital projects and also for programs as well to then bring before the assembly and discuss and we transmit that to Juno. And that process, which is an open process, our next meeting will be on the 11th, and we also discuss legislative items there. Maybe we'll have some opportunity to get into in some detail later, but this is an important part of solving our deferred maintenance problem, is our relationship with our congressional delegation in Juneau. And the capital budget is, from what I can tell, going to be returning, and that we can expect at least a 50% school debt bond reimbursement within the next 2 years.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Mr. Shields.
If there is money available for us to handle some of the local issues, I certainly will be working with the state and federal representation to allocate that. However, I'm very concerned that the state and the federal government haven't demonstrated a very sound fiscal management policy either. And so one of the things I spoke of earlier this afternoon was the idea of how the North Star Borough could be a global center of culture and commerce. And so I've really been looking at how we can generate new revenue sources, how we can look at the assets we have and capitalize on them to leverage private-public partnerships to get the funds so we can be more self-reliant. One of the challenges that with state funding and federal funding is they come with federal strings. I think our education program is a good example of this. If we had more state control, more state funding, then I think we could, or more local funding, then I think we wouldn't be so beherent to some of the controls that are being placed upon us. And we have those opportunities with private partnerships.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Ms. Winters.
When I was in the Assembly, I think the whole 6 years I was I did the legislative stuff. And I think, like I said at another forum, that we deal with a legislative delegation. I think we need to advocate for our needs loudly but politely. And I think it also has to be in the context of which the financial or fiscal situation is. So in other words, say, you can say, well, you know, there's going to be a $100 million capital budget and we need $55 million. That's not likely to get funded. So I think it's a question of being practical, understanding the context in which you're making the request. And I think you know, the people that we serve on the borough level are the same people that the legislators deal with. And I think given that it's you can find some agreement more often than you would think.
Thank you.
Thank you for answering the first two questions. For the audience who's here with us tonight, if you have questions for our candidates, now is a good time to please pass your white note cards to one of the league members, and we will be collecting them and reviewing them to pose them to the candidates in a bit. So question number three, the University of Alaska has faced major funding cuts in recent years. Fairbanks is home to the flagship institution for Arctic research, and the university has a major impact on our local economy. What role does the borough mayor play in supporting the university? We will begin with Ms. Winters.
Obviously, the university is hugely important to our community, as are its needs. I think the tricky part, to be perfectly honest, the tricky part of that is that the borough has huge needs as well. So there, again, it's a balancing act. You want to support the university, and there, I think, largely financial needs lately, at the same time that you take care of the borough ones. And so I would say balancing act, but I do think it's possible for the borough and the university to support each other mutually. And I know in the past, when we've both had legislative lists or legislative priorities that we've actually consulted about, whether, like when the university needed a power plant, that was obviously a huge need. And so I think it's possible to work together.
Thank you, Ms. Winters. Mr. Ward?
Yeah, so when it comes to the university, I think the best role that the borough can play is in advocacy, advocating for projects, advocating for programs that have an impact on our community. Some of the other ways in which the borough can partner with the university is through the economic development component of the university. There's some great things going on with the commission, the Economic Development Commission at the borough, and some of the things that are going on up at the university through their Office of Intellectual Development, which is where they take the research that they are doing at the university and look at how they can turn that out into either small businesses with some of their students or staff. And so those are great ways that there's already partnerships happening. When the university is successful, it means that our community is successful. And some of those partnerships, there are businesses operating in our community with research that was developed up at UIF, and that's a success story. So I think we can continue to do those things, especially with the economic development component.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mr. Quist.
Thank you. The University of Alaska Fairbanks presents a tremendous value to this community, one that's not recognized, unfortunately, in Juneau, but it is recognized internationally, the research that gets done there. The borough and the mayor's office can support the university in many ways, but one directly, there's a grant from the mayor's office to KUAC, $20,000 every year. We at the borough maintain a Carlson Center, and we might be putting in an $11 million ice plant, and the University of Alaska Fairbanks hockey team takes good advantage of that, and that's a great partnership. But probably the most exciting kinds of things that we can do are regarding energy and air quality, things like combined heat and power, and there's a project that we've installed at the moment, but could still go somewhere at the Big Dipper.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Mr. Shields.
So we're all familiar with the analogy of a good time to plant a tree. The same is true of economic diversity, and I think a lot of the challenges that we're facing, especially the more critical ones, is a result of poor planning over the last decade. The University of Alaska is an aerospace university. It has a lot of potential to move us forward, and we need to continue developing those partnerships. The idea of vertical farming began as a university class in Columbia University, 10 students. And now those things are being developed in major cities all over the world as primers for economic development. There's a lot of opportunities, and we need to be harnessing the educational opportunities we have, especially with the aerospace, because we need something that's going to replace the majority of the oil industry that we have. And there's not a lot of things out there that can do that. Aerospace is one of them. They can bring in the money, it can bring in the dollars, it can bring in the skill sets that we need, and the university is the planter for those seeds to be rooted and nurtured.
Thank you, Mr. Shields.
The next question, we will begin with Mr. Quist. What issues do you see the borough facing with the influx of military families expected to arrive with the F-35s, and which concern you the most? As mayor, how would you address these issues?
So, it's an important question. We have a lot of people coming to this community, 3,000 people over the next 5 years. And my primary concern is that of air quality. A lot of these people will be living in or near the worst air quality in our community, and just increasing the population density will aggravate that problem and also make it less likely that the families of the pilots and the support staff of the pilots choose not to come to Fairbanks, or then those families choose not to stay here as a result of it. So I think that we need to continue full speed ahead on our air quality solutions, which involve gas efficiencies and working with people to burn wood in a clean and responsible way.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Mr. Shields.
I think the biggest issue that I would like to see addressed, that I'm most concerned about, that I think will have the most impact with Eielson, is the issue of recycling. There's a lot of people that are coming up here from the military. They're used to recycling. They're used to having separate bins. They're used to having programs. These things don't exist here, and they look around wondering why. We also have a lot of expenses related to how we ship things out of state and use that as a recycling system. It's a good start, but we have opportunities here to create jobs. Before the borough got involved in recycling, I remember stories of people putting their kids through college on stuff they were able to recycle. At the time when I was in high school, I know we were able to recycle things from the transfer stations. And I think those are huge opportunities. And people that are coming up here are going to bring in more waste, and they need to be addressed with. I think one of the biggest opportunities is when people leave, they just don't want to deal with stuff and they throw it away. These are perfectly good items that we could be recirculating in the community.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Mr. Ward.
Yes, thank you. I think the three big issues that I see when it comes to the F-35 and the expansion that we're expecting to see, first is our schools and how we're going to be doing our districting. We already are at capacity in North Pole with our elementary schools in particular, and so we're going to have to look at, we have capacity in the district. How are we going to rewrite those lines? How are we going to deal with that issue? Working with the school district is how I think we can come up with those solutions. The next one is going to be housing and land use. I think that as we look at the expansion and the housing that's being constructed in North Pole, there's a great effort right now that the borough is doing with the Badger Salcha plan. I'm afraid we might be about a year too late on that one, but some great effort is being made to put forth some planning efforts to give us some guidance. One of the big concerns I have with housing is quality and affordability and efficiency. As we look at the air quality issue and the future that we have, we need to make sure that those homes are of highest efficiency and value that we possibly can.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mm-hmm. Ms. Winters.
I would say I think the biggest concern is housing. I think it's actually kind of a complicated algorithm. The military has a preferred housing area between Moose Creek and North Pole. That's their preferred. And I think there's, so that's one need. And then, but at the same time, Fairbanks, I think overall in the community, there's a 12-13% vacancy rate. And so one hand we want to meet the needs of the military, but we also have vacancies. And then I think as the housing market tightens up, I think that we have to be very concerned about the affordable side of housing, that people that basically rent that affordable housing, that we don't put more pressure on people that have problems affording housing as it is right now. So I'd say that, number one. And then number two, kind of a larger issue, is licensing for military spouses, having the ability to come to work here when they're licensed someplace else. I think that's a huge issue.
Thank you, Ms. Winters.
If you're just tuning in, we're live at the League of Women Voters of Tanana Valley's Borough Mayor and Assembly Candidates Forum. Seated before us are candidates for Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor, Mr. Christopher Quist, Mr. Robert Shields, Mr. Bryce Ward, and Ms. Nadine Winters. We will now take a few questions from our audience. Candidates, you have 30 seconds, and that's short, to respond to the audience questions. The first question will be for Nadine Winters. We have several questions related to deferred maintenance. What strategies would you be open to address deferred maintenance?
Just about any, frankly. But I think one thing is that I think we need a prioritized list. I know there's been a lot of work, but it'd be good to find out. There's a time factor. It doesn't all have to be done right at once. I would say the other thing is that there has to be some budget discipline. The borough's had a facilities maintenance reserve fund for many, many years, and past assemblies have been putting money into it. That's probably going to have to increase. I'd look at bonds, and then voter approval increases to the mill rate where you don't accrue debt service and better use of your money.
Thank you, Ms. Winters. Mr. Shields.
Could you repeat your question, please?
We have several questions related to deferred maintenance. What strategies would you be open to address deferred maintenance?
I would be interested in looking at them as assets. We have a lot of assets in this community. Prioritizing how we can monetize those assets for the bigger of the community, I think, is going to be a key point. I think that there are things that we can do. For example, we talked about putting in a solar farm over Mary Size, a way to generate revenue for that building to offset deferred maintenance and to come up with service so that we could continue operating that because we know how important that is to the community. But with like the Big Dipper, we'd like to look at how we could develop some food storage and food security measures with the ice that they're developing.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Ward.
Yes, thank you. I think for the deferred maintenance issue, first we need to prioritize the services that we are providing in the community and then look for efficiencies and possible consolidation. Some of the things that we can do for the buildings that need to be replaced is public-private partnerships. This is where the government, the borough, would enter into a long-term agreement with the landowner to be able to essentially lease a building. The benefit that this is that it's very difficult for government to capitalize its buildings. No one likes government sitting on big wads of cash, and so you can do that through those public-private partnerships.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mr. Quist.
Thank you. I'd be open to any strategies that works, but I think that we need to... We're beyond our means, and we need to reduce or eliminate some things, clearly. No one person can decide what those things are, but we need to trim some. But after that, which I don't think should be much, I think we need more revenue. And unfortunately, some of that's bonding or an adjustment to the mill rate. But what we have here is worth paying for. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quist.
This will be quite a change in topics. How will you address the substance abuse and mental health needs of our borough? We'll begin with Mr. Ward.
Yes, thank you. The substance abuse and mental health issue is one that definitely, I think, plagues our community. Many of our community members suffer from many of those issues. The challenge that we have with the borough being a second-class borough is that it's not within our scope of services. However, there are things that the borough has done and will continue to do through partnerships with agencies such as the City of Fairbanks and other in the hospital as well. So those things, I think, should continue and will continue under my administration.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mr. Quist.
Thank you. This is an important issue that unfortunately the borough can't really directly help with, but indirectly can be very helpful with. And one of the most, just strengthening public or partnerships with nonprofits in general, but specifically the mayor's office hosts a VISTA volunteer program. And these VISTAs help with nonprofits throughout our community that can help address some of these issues. That's just one way that the mayor's office can help.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Next, we'll hear from Ms. Winters.
I think the borough directly probably doesn't have much it can do. We're a second-class borough, no health and social service powers. But I do think that it is an issue that, I don't know if plague is the right way, it is an issue that's important to our community. What the borough can do and more specifically the mayor, is, you know, there's the power of advocacy and there's the power of convening. And so I think both of those are appropriate to basically partner with agencies that can help with that and advocate and convene those organizations.
Thank you, Ms. Winters. Now we'll hear from Mr. Shields.
Well, I think it's important for us to do some vocabulary because we have to really think about what we're considering a drug. I mean, the opioid addiction is a prescription drug fed to us by pharmaceuticals, whereas we have cannabis that's treated like it's right up there with cocaine, and it's been proven to provide a lot of benefits to these kind of things. Additionally, with mental health services, once we have more money to put into counseling and group therapy, those are great. But in the meantime, I think there are small little things that we can do to encourage things. For example, we have an animal shelter. Why don't we get some people over there and helping with those?
Thank you, Mr. Shields.
The next question from the audience. The Bureau government funds are very strained currently. What new or alternate revenue sources would you look to? And we begin with Mr. Shields.
I would have to say solar is the low-hanging fruit. It's not going to solve, it's not the silver bullet, but it's going to reframe the energy conversation. There is funding available for it, and it can provide immediate savings at no cost. This is a low-hanging fruit that we should have been going after a long time ago, but better late than never. I think this is a really good way. Again, I think there's also opportunities in our landfill to capture revenue there. I've estimated there's roughly $130 million missing by not properly tapping into the resources we have there.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Now we will hear from Mr. Bryce Ward.
Yes, thank you. So it is, everyone's aware that the borough is facing some fiscal challenges. As we look forward, you know, the majority of the income that comes into the borough is either through fees or through property tax. We do also have sales tax on tobacco, marijuana, alcohol, but the primary source of income is our property tax. As we look to the future, there's several things that are on the ballot this fall, which gives people the opportunity to either increase those taxes or not. Historically, we've chosen not to, and so I think we need to continue to look for efficiencies and make adjustments.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Now we'll hear from Mr. Christopher Quist.
Thank you. So, yes, I mean, clearly we're going to continue to look for efficiencies, and there, you know, we may reduce some things, but in terms of new revenue, the ballot measures are very important, and I'd like to see that they pass, but alternatively, we can look to modify our user fees so that we subsidize, in some cases, less of the use, and that can help. We, as long as we're underneath a tax cap, we have to just learn to continue to operate underneath the tax cap, and really user fees and just a few other things are on the table.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Ms. Winters.
Unless something changes next week, we operate under a tax cap, which is a revenue cap. And so new revenue sources, any new revenue source that or we avail ourselves of any new revenue source, essentially what it does is it shifts the burden from property taxpayers to whomever that tax impacts. And so while that tax cap is in place, any new revenue source is going to represent a shift. So if there's interest in shifting, there's many things. Most every single one of them needs to be voter approved, i.e. for a sales tax.
Thank you, Ms. Winters.
The next question from our audience. What is your view of the issues raised in the Eielson Air Force Base Regional Growth Plan, and what would you do about them? And we begin with Mr. Quist.
I'm saying the first part.
What is your view of the issues raised in the Eielson Air Force Base Regional Growth Plan, and what would you do about them?
So the regional growth plan, the primary thing that I saw being stressed in there was lack of necessary housing, and not just the quantity of the housing, but also the quality of the housing. And the solution for that is continuing Mayor Castle's work to ensure that not everybody will be stationed on base, so that there will be demand for new housing to be built in North Pole.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Next, we'll hear from Ms. Nadine Winters.
I think there's some further analysis that could happen as a result of that regional growth plan. I think there's possible to do some another phase. I would, as I said before, I think housing is an issue. One hand, there's a need for housing in a certain area of the community. The other hand, we have overall a significant vacancy rate. I think that is the primary issue that was raised in that thing and requires some attention.
Thank you, Ms. Winters. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Shields.
Well, quality housing is an issue for everybody that lives here and anybody that might come here. And I think that we should be looking at addressing these issues regardless of who the group is coming here. And regarding the ILSON group, I really think that there are a lot of opportunities out there to lead the way forward. Like I said, most of these people are coming from places that are far more progressive than we are with their building codes and their lifestyles, rainwater harvesting, gardening, permaculture type things. And I think by working on providing those kind of opportunities.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Mr. Ward.
Yes, thank you. So the regional growth plan goes over 12 major items, if you will: housing, employment, education, health services, transportation, are just the ones I remember offhand. It's about 400 pages long, so I don't think 60 seconds is or 30 seconds is quite enough, but some of the issues that are out there is number one is the housing issue. The housing issue, was that a stop or?
Please proceed, Mr. Ward.
Some of the things that are currently going on right now, we have the Housing Task Force, the Badger-Salter Plan. Those should continue. They're going to be a great resource for our community as we look forward.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
The next question from the audience. As it shows by data that PM 2.5 emissions occur when people fire up inefficient wood boilers, do you support the borough paying for power technology to substantially reduce emissions? And we'll begin with Mr. Ward.
Thank you. I believe the power technology is the ESPs. I'm not really familiar on that exact terminology. But I think that there is technology out there that we can use to improve our efficiency of our devices, both on additive devices such as those, or looking at efficiency of those devices and making sure that we're replacing them and that the folks that are using them are using the most efficient devices that we can. And the borough's done that through the standards that they've set through the wood stove changeout program. Our standards are higher than that of EPA.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Shields.
Well, the scrubbers have been tested in other places, and I think if anybody should want to use them, I definitely think they should be allowed to, and I think this is part of the issue of local control, that we have to get the EPA's approval to use them. Now, as far as the borough paying for them, I don't think that the borough should be paying for small things like that. I think that if the borough is going to do something, they need to do something that's going to impact most people. One of the things we've been looking at is how they handle the inversion issues in orchards in Washington, and that's by investing in these wind fans that move the air when it gets stagnant. That's one of the ways to address it, and it would affect a lot more people than just scrubbers would.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. And next, we'll hear from Mr. Quist.
Yes, I would support the borough funding measures that reduce pollution, and we've done something very specifically or like that at the Assembly just the other week. We started funding the study of these retrofit control devices and ESPs in particular to try to be able to get ultimately money from EPA in order to be able to purchase a lot of these. In the near term, we could consider requiring them for use when if you have a no ash waiver, but then subsidizing their installation particularly.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Next, we'll hear from Ms. Winters.
Yes, on the ESPs. I think, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have to implement control measures, and I think it's a question of picking the least onerous, but part of that picking the least onerous is if there's technology that's going to help people burn cleaner, and if there's anything that the borough can do to either through testing or something similar to the wood stove changeout program to make people's lives, while they're complying with the Clean Air Act, also making it affordable for them, then I would support those.
Thank you, Ms. Winters.
The next question from the audience. What do you think about Ryan Middle School students not being able to use Hammy Pool for gym class? What should we do? And we begin with Ms. Winters.
I have to say that has not come up on the campaign trail. I honestly don't know. I don't know why, and I don't know the hows. It seems not logical to me that proximity would indicate that they could, but I honestly don't know the specifics of that, so I can't. Would I want the students at Ryan to be able to have to swim? Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Winters. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Bryce Ward.
Yes, thank you. So I was in a meeting earlier this year, and actually several over the last several years, on partnerships with our military, what the community and organizations can do to partner with the military. And it was really astounding that we were having this conversation about partnering as the borough with our military installations, and we haven't had this conversation about partnering with the schools. And I know that we have in the past, and there's been some bad blood, if you will, and I think that's one of the reasons why the students might not be able to use that facility. But we need to open those doors and that communication for partnership.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mr. Shields.
I'm not exactly certain why the kids are being kept out of Hammy Pool, but I definitely think that swimming and learning how to swim is very important for kids. And I would definitely try to figure out exactly what's going on over there and get them back in the water, and then maybe help them overcome some of the cost by installing some solar hot water panels.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Mr. Quist.
Thank you. So this is surprising to me that because Ryan can't swim at Hammy. So about a year ago, a little bit less, the school district initiated and the borough also terminated a decades-old agreement about pools. The borough owns and maintains it, and the school district pays a fee. And just like 2 weeks ago, we authorized a new agreement by which the school district can pay by the head, and we still take care of all the custodial. I'm surprised. I'm going to have to look into this because I thought we just solved this problem.
Thank you, Mr. Quist.
Candidates will now present their closing statements. A reminder, you have 2 minutes. We will begin with Mr. Quist, followed by Mr. Shields, then Mr. Ward, and then Ms. Winters.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with all of you tonight, and it's been a privilege to serve this community for the last 4 years on the Borough Assembly. I feel strongly that I'm the right candidate for Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor. I love this community. I love this borough. And working with borough employees as an assembly member has truly been inspirational. It is one of the reasons that I continue to serve. And I will work tirelessly to help clean up our air, to make sure that our public schools are funded at the highest level that we can, and to make sure that our student-teacher ratio is as robust as it can be. And so I really believe that when we keep talking, and that when we build consensus, that we succeed together. And working with everybody on the assembly the last 4 years has been a regular exercise in consensus building. And working and talking with people from diverse backgrounds is a strength of mine. And I'm looking forward to serving as your next borough mayor. So I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters of the Tanana Valley for hosting this, and KUAC for putting us on the air. And I'd like to thank a few of the organizations that have chosen to endorse my campaign, such as Fairbanks Education Association, Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Hawaii, local Carpenters and Joiners 1243, and the Alaska Center. Thank you all for talking with us tonight, and I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation as the next Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Quist. Mr. Shields.
When the elections closed, it came out in the paper, and I think they summed it up pretty well. 3 experienced community leaders and a renewable energy advocate. In a town that's been run on coal and run by coal money for the last 75 years, I think what that represents is a breath of fresh air. Now, I have no doubt that all of these are good people, and everybody that's serving on the committee or the assembly and the city councils and all of the different administrations are good, hardworking people. But we need a new perspective. And what I bring to the assembly and the borough and to this community is extensive and focused knowledge on energy financing, on community development projects, and ways to be able to insulate us and provide us with the revenue and the infrastructure that we need to make more of the things that we use. Our biggest challenge is we are so reliant on outside sources of money, outside sources of materials, and outside supplies to maintain our quality of life. There's nothing wrong with this if we live in Seattle, but we don't. We live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and we are prone to disruptions, and we need to be prepared for that, and we're not. And I don't hear anybody talking about those kind of things at the assembly level, at the city level, and we need to be talking about them because emergencies are not things that you can handle retroactively. I want to run for mayor because I believe that we can move in a different direction. We have a lot of potential here, and we just need to get behind the ideas of what Siemens is proposing and what other companies are proposing on how to move us forward with the new energy system, because saving energy saves everything and affects everything from the quality of living, from the cost of living to the quality of life. I'm running because I can bring that perspective. I can bring that knowledge, and I can leverage those private partnerships that allow us to get around some of these caps and these challenges that we have in order to be able to utilize our talents, our resources, and our imagination.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Mr. Ward.
Yes, thank you to the League and to all of our listeners in the audience here and online, too. A little story on how I first got involved in politics. I was working at a hot plant here in town as a gentleman, just working in front of their contractor, and one of the seats was not open. We had two seats open on our council in North Pole. Only one person had filed, and on the radio they said, "Golly, we need someone to come down and run." And I went home and complained to my wife, as I'm sure most guys do when they get home from work, and said, "Golly, I can't believe no one wants to go down and do their civic duty." And she said, "Well, how can you expect someone else to do something that you're not willing to do yourself?" And so I said, "Well, golly, yes, ma'am, I know what I need to do." And so I went down, talked to the clerk, got involved, did a write-in campaign. I got elected onto the city council with 37 votes. The joke was I had to beat Santa Claus. We didn't actually have Santa Claus in North Pole at that time. But I did win. I got elected to the council, and then the next year ran for mayor, ran for two terms in North Pole. And that's kind of the story, I think, with the borough here. I'm knowledgeable on the issues. I feel like I can hit the ground running. I like working together with people. We've got very complicated issues in front of us, and I think that what we really need is someone that can bring people together, and I hope that I'm that person. And I would appreciate your vote on October 2nd. Please get out and vote, and thank you for what you guys do here as the League of Women Voters.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Ms. Winters.
I think I would like to say thank you for putting on this forum. For everyone that listens, I think that, you know, informed choices are the best ones. I think that we're facing a number of issues, air quality, the cost of energy. I think I worry about that, and I think we need to keep our eye on the prize that natural gas is going to be. Preparing for the growth with Eielson, housing is an issue, but there's a whole bunch of positive aspects and other issues that need to be dealt with there. And then, and I think too that K-12 education is hugely important to the community. It's the borough's single biggest expenditure of money. I think that there's room to have, I'm hoping that the relationship between the borough and the school district, that there's room for improvement there. I think in the past, my time on the assembly, my time in the mayor's office, working on all these actually very cool projects I've got to work on in the last couple decades, I think that I've shown that I have the ability to work with all facets of the community and on especially complex issues. And so I would ask for people's support so I could put those skills to use in the next 3 years. And hopefully at the end of it, we'll have a resolution to air quality, we'll have natural gas, and some growth in the community.
Thank you, Ms. Winters.
Thank you, candidates. To those just tuning in to KUAC, we have just heard from four candidates for borough mayor: Christopher Quist, Robert Shields, Bryce Ward, and Nadine Winters. We will take a very short break while we transition to our next round. Up next, we will hear from candidates for the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly seats A, F, and G.
get to know any more forums. So.
No more forums. No more CMSC.
He's never had a really run in it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, they do pretty good.
By what?
Oh, and
yeah.
Yeah, there's out there too. This is all the ones that people need to find.
Got the water, got my cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
time of year.
I need some water, too. Mm-hmm. I need some water, too.
Candidates, we'll get started in 2 minutes.
Welcome back. We are now heading into the second half of our program. Seated before us are 6 of the 8 candidates running for seats on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. Each seat holds a 3-year term. Running for seat A are Sam Tuck and Marna Sanford. For seat F are Jeffrey Rensel and Liz Like. Also running for seat F is Blaise Brooks, who is not present this evening. For seat G, we have Leah Berman-Williams and Hank Bartos. Also running for seat G is Michael Holland, who is also not present this evening. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for opening remarks and 1 minute to respond to the moderator's questions. Throughout the forum, a timekeeper will hold up signs to indicate when you have 15 seconds remaining and when you must stop. Time limits for all comments will be strictly enforced. We will begin with an opening statement from candidates for seat A, Sam Tuck and Marna Sanford. Mr. Tuck, you have 2 minutes.
Hello. Thank you for inviting us here tonight. I jokingly tell everyone when they ask why do I want to run, I tell them watch out what happens when you retire. You end up with a lot of time on your hands. That's always the joke. Actually, I've been following the political scene here for quite a few years now and have tried to participate in most meetings that the borough or other organizations have. I guess, really, I just want to give back to the community. That would be the short answer to why I'm running. I believe my background, which is really in construction and asset management, and being a retired police officer also helps and some of my curiosity at times, digging into matters that are of interest. And I would hope that that would come in handy serving with the borough. So I would just ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Ms. Sanford.
Good evening. Thanks so much to the League for hosting this event. I've been looking forward to it. I love you guys' work, and I'm proud to be a part of it. So I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I feel like I always have to start out with your Alaska cred. I did grow up in Tok, but my family is originally from Fairbanks. I moved here to live permanently in 2007, where I started a career at the Public Defender Agency. And so the lawyering is my day job. My evening job was following politics. So I'm a bit of a political junkie. I dig it. I think it's fun. I like being involved. But I never wanted to run for office. I thought that that was something that other people did until 2016, when there was a massive shift in how everybody looked at getting involved in local elections and getting women in particular involved in local elections. And at that time, I'm working over at Tanana Chiefs currently in their government affairs coordinator position, and digging into policy and legislation, working with a group of women in particular who were trying to bandy about who we were going to get to run in local elections. Well, it turned out that's me. And I'm pleased to be here. It's been a really energizing time. The support that I've seen from the community has just been awesome. And I'm just grateful to be a part of it. And I am grateful to be able to serve my community in any way that I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sanford. We will now hear opening statements from candidates for seat F, Jeffrey Rensel and Liz Light. Mr. Rensel, you have the floor.
Thank you for inviting us here and having this forum, giving us a chance to let the people know what we stand for. My name is Jeff Rensel. I'm a 39-year resident of the state of Alaska. I came up in the military and decided to never leave. 22 years ago, I came to Fairbanks and decided to stay for 2 years and never left. So I definitely stick with things. I worked, like I say, for the state 28 and a half years as a juvenile justice officer. I have uncanny ability, I guess, to work with difficult people, to work through issues and solve problems. And one of the things I always told people, you cannot change a system unless you're part of the system. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to run for borough assembly, to help make changes for our borough, for our community, to make it a better place to live. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Rensel. Ms. Light.
My name is Liz Light, and I first want to just thank the League for the work, all the work that you do, and especially for putting on these forums. I've been in Fairbanks for 8 years. I moved here from Minnesota, so the second coldest state. And when I first moved up here, I moved here from Minneapolis and had this mindset of missing the city so much, and then gradually after about a year I realized that like I didn't miss the city, and I just fell in love with this place here. And I feel like Fairbanks has all these like secret treasures that all the community groups and all the work that everyone does in so many different ways really makes this a great place. A few years ago I went through a time in my life where a lot of people really stepped up and helped me in my life. And that's part of the reason I want to give back, is because without what we do for each other as a community, as neighbors, as boroughs, none of us will make it. This is can be a really cold place, but it has such a warm heart. So I want to be on the borough at this time because I think our future is really at stake. The decisions we make now and what we value and we invest in the future are going to be really consequential. So I want to be there for that, because I want to be here for the next 25 years too.
Thank you, Ms. Light. We will now hear opening statements from candidates for seat G, Leah Berman Williams and Hank Barkus. Ms. Williams, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you for hosting such a fantastic forum. I moved here in 2009 with my husband to take a job at the university in the math department. And I've got, at the time I had 2 little kids, now I've got 2 not so little kids who are in the public schools. And the community has been incredibly welcoming to us. And we've gotten a lot of value from the community. And so I'm running for the assembly because I'm prepared to do the very hard work of serving on the assembly as a way to give back to the community. Some of the things that I'm really excited about, either continuing the positive work that we have in our community or making it even better, I support public education, well-funded public education. I think that it's important to maintain the quality of life that we have here and make it better, increasing our infrastructure, our parks, our public places, our transportation, and our services. And I am excited about working with local entrepreneurs to develop and diversify our economy, especially in the areas of small business growth and tourism. So I think that we've got a good, great place here. We've got a fabulous future in front of us, and I hope to be part of it. And I would appreciate your vote on Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Bartos.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all of you for being here tonight, and I'd like to thank the radio audience for tuning in and listening and hearing what we have to say so that you can make a choice on who you want to represent you. I've been here 37 years. I came here as a pilot at Alston Air Force Base, and I retired after 20 years as a lieutenant colonel. I've been in the housing business. I understand the military, and I understand what goes on, you know, with the housing problem, which is going to be something we need to deal with in the next several years. I settled here because of the quality of life. This was a safe, healthy community. It was a great place to raise my two children. My wife was a school teacher here in North Pole for 33 years. We love this community, and I've had the pleasure of being elected by the people of this community for five different times, and then I was chosen by the Assembly to serve a one-year term to fill a vacant seat. 16 years gives me the experience and knowledge to help develop this community to be the best place that it can possibly be. I've been away from the Assembly for about 10 years, and in looking at the way things are going and the experience level of the Assembly, after this term, our most experienced Assembly member will have 4 years' experience. I believe that I can add to that. I believe the people of this community want to see a balanced Assembly. They don't want to see one too far this way or too far that way, because if you have balance, you can have debate. And when you have debate, you can go back and forth and make a better decision that will benefit all of us in this community. And I would appreciate your vote on next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos.
We will now move on to our first question. What do you see as possible solutions for bolstering our economy here in the interior? Do you support the tax cap? If elected, what role will you play in these possible solutions? We will begin with Mr. Tuck.
One minute. Oh, okay. We need to diversify the economy. That's no doubt. I always hear the word diversify, and I think it's used pretty freely with politicians. I guess the question is, what do we do to diversify? I think the immediate action would be to try to start investing more into the university system. It seems to have the most return for the buck. I've heard anywhere from $6 to $8, which is fantastic. And I can't remember, what was the second part of the question there?
Do you support the tax cap?
And I do support the tax cap.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Ms. Sanford.
Thank you. I'm one of those people who uses the word diversify, partly for our state economy and also for our local economy. But currently, we, as a borough, I think we're a little hamstrung until we look at creating economic development that is attainable by a larger number of people. Earlier today, I attended the Explore Fairbanks Forum, and that also gets really great return on investment. Tourism is something that we can be looking at into the future that will be here long. The greatness of Alaska will be here long past the oil in the ground, the gold in the ground, and that to me is something that we should be capitalizing on, and I'm really glad we do invest our bed tax where we do. The voters get to decide the tax cap, and so I have an opinion on it. I think that it is tough to be the kind of community that we all can live in and enjoy when...
Thank you, Ms. Hanford. Next, we'll hear from Ms. Williams, running for seat G.
Thank you. As a member of the Assembly, I cannot create new business opportunities, but I can choose to support our local business people in what they do by developing ordinances that don't get in the way of new ideas and new development. The revenue cap is not a cap on how much taxes we pay. It is a cap on how much revenue the borough is allowed to take in, which means that if we increase a tax here, the borough has to decrease a tax elsewhere to stay within the constraints of the revenue cap. It was developed at a time when state funding was plentiful, and the formula that determines the amount of revenue depends on that assumption that we're going to get lots of money from the state. That assumption is no longer valid, and the revenue cap is no longer working to serve the needs of the borough, and I will not be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Now we will hear from Mr. Hank Bartos, also running for seat G.
Thank you. I support the revenue cap or the tax cap, whichever one you want to call it. It has built-in things so that if we develop more business here, that the tax cap can rise. It has helped over the years to keep the spending of the borough in check, and I think that has been a good thing. I believe that the wheels of government turn in this room, and that the assembly is the one that allocates the money to the administration so that they know what they have to work with. And the assembly is the ultimate strings on the purse. I think diversifying our economy, doing value-added businesses with the resources that we have currently will help bring in more money, and it will help develop our quality of life so that military people like me that come up here, the 3,000 of them, more of them will retire here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos. Next, we will hear from candidates for seat F. We will begin with Mr. Rentzel.
I think that if I was elected to the borough assembly, I would do whatever I can to encourage small businesses, to promote them, and in order to create more jobs, which would, again, help the economy. As far as the tax cap goes, I am for the tax cap, and I don't think we need to change that at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Rentzel. Next, we'll hear from Liz Like, also running for seat F.
Thank you. I think that when it comes to the borough and business, I think one of the best things we can invest in is people and making this a place where people want to stay. The more people we have here and the more diverse that group is, the more small businesses will kind of spring up to support those people. As far as the tax cap goes, it is good that it does have allowances for new homes coming on and expanding with inflation. And I think that if it's something that the voters want to abolish, I think that would be good, and I think that we could expand and do more as a borough if that was gone.
Thank you, Ms. Like.
Question number two. The borough has very limited powers, yet we are facing numerous crises, such as a lack of mental health treatment options, drug abuse and addiction, and underperforming schools. How do you plan to address these problems that impact borough residents? We'll begin with Ms. Sanford.
So the borough actually doesn't have a lot of options when it comes to some of those issues, which I do believe are very important. And I think the mayoral candidates actually answered some of their answers were spot on. I do think that there's partnerships that can be developed within the community with the current people who are serving us, whether it be FMH, Tana Ortiz, where I work currently, and the nonprofits who are the ones who are doing the on-the-ground services. Generally speaking, though, as a community member, we all need to do better. And I'm not sure what that looks like, but we can't ignore it. So that's just speaking as a person, not a candidate.
Thank you, Ms. Sanford. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Sam Tuck, also running for seat A.
Thank you. Well, the first thing I will say, I think we have probably the best schools in the state. Could they improve? Sure. I'm sure they could. But all I ever hear are comments that are positive for our school system. So kudos to them. The teachers do a magnificent job with what they have to work with. And I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Next, we'll hear from candidates running for seat F. We'll begin with Liz Like.
I think that when it comes to substance abuse, the borough does a lot to gather state and federal grants, and that's good, and we should continue to do as much as possible. But I think when it comes to helping people, it really is giving them resources, and I think the best resource we have is each other. So the more opportunities we have for folks to have connections, even folks that are, you know, maybe down on their luck, but the more that those folks have a chance to really get to get support from other people, and then we all, like Marna said, we all have a chance to do that as individuals. The more we can do that as individuals for people, the more that problem will go away.
Thank you, Ms. Like. Mr. Rentzel?
I think that the Borough Assembly needs to work closely with the agencies that do provide those services. We may not be able to directly fund them, but there are other partnerships that we can develop to address those issues. I've been dealing with the substance abuse, the alcohol abuse, the crime for the last 28 and a half years, and there is a lot lacking as far as the mental health goes in this city and in this state. And we need to look at the federal government and the state government for funding in those areas to provide assistance to our residents.
Thank you, Mr. Rentzel. Next, we will hear from candidates running for seat G. We will begin with Ms. Williams.
Thank you. One of the main things that the Borough Assembly can do is serve as a repository of funding from the federal government. So certainly we should be aggressively looking for funds that we can take in to help solve, to help fund solutions to some of these problems. We can also work with local groups that are working on mental health issues to try to help them in ways that the borough can facilitate, such as changing zoning or making sure that expansions can happen if that's appropriate. And of course, continuing the partnerships that we already have with the City of North Pole, the City of Fairbanks, and other local groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Bartos?
As you know, the borough does not have health and social service powers because we're a second-class borough. But in talking about education, we do have power to help the education community. We set the amount of money from the borough to the school district so that the school district is adequately funded along with the services that the borough provides. By having opportunities for our children that are in school, I think that helps keep them away from drugs. It helps them be more responsible citizens. And then our seniors in this community, I'm the president of Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing, and we help people that need the home, that are less fortunate than others, provide them with nice housing so that they do not fall under the street.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos.
Audience members, we have collected some questions that we will be posing to the candidates. If you have additional questions, please submit them now to our League members. If you're just tuning in to KUAC, we are here at the League of Women Voters Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly Candidate Forum. Question number three, which we'll begin with Mr. Bartos. What is the relationship between the borough commissions and the assembly? How do you plan to work with these commissions if elected?
I think the commissions provide a tremendous input to the borough assembly. By listening to the commissioners and their needs and wants, the assembly can adjust the funding to support those commissions, such as, you know, fire service, road service, and so on. You know, education commissions, the other commissions that we have, and I was served as a commissioner at one time on a road service area, and then the funding that we provide determines what kind of roads and what kind of services our neighborhood gets. So it's very important that the borough work with those commissions and the assembly can help with the funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos. Ms. Williams.
Thank you. I believe that some assembly members serve as members of certain commissions, depending on what the commission is that we're talking about. And so there's a direct way that there is communication between those commissions and the assembly. And as an assembly member, I would hope to meet with representatives of the other commissions, such as the Fire Service Commission, which has been discussed extensively recently, to make sure that as proposals are happening that involve these commissions, such as the Fire Service Commissions, that their experience and input is taken into account, is heard before decisions are made that involve those commissions. I'm very distressed by the notion that we'll just reorganize a commission without talking to the commissioners who know how that commission works the best. So we need more communication. As an assembly member, I would work to do that communicating. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Next, we'll hear from candidates running for seat A. We will begin with Sam Tuck.
Absolutely. We should use the Borough Commission, all of them, to gain as much information as we can on the topics that we're discussing. I believe sometimes we don't. I was a little distressed with the Fire Commission, the way that's been handled thus far. I believe the Fire Commissioner should have been brought in for the discussion. They are the experts. I am not, but I am always open to listen to the experts.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Ms. Sanford.
I actually served on the Planning Commission for 3 years, and in my time serving the community in that capacity, we actually did review any ordinance that the Borough Assembly had that dealt directly with planning or zoning or land use. So during the time when I was on the Planning Commission, I felt that that is the exact appropriate relationship, where if we saw an issue with continuing cases that came before us and we saw that there was a problem with an ordinance, we could propose one to the Borough, the Assembly, and vice versa. If they saw something after getting continued issues to them on one particular area, they could propose something and then vet it through us. And so, again, that was in the past. That's been several years ago. But that's the kind of relationship that I envision working really well. You've got subject matter experts who are going to be able to inform the Assembly's decisions. So,
thank you, Ms. Sanford. Next, we will hear from candidates running for seat F. We will begin with Ms. Like.
I just believe that our commissions are an invaluable resource. There's only 9 people that are on the assembly, and our 9 brains, whichever 9 brains get on there, is just not enough to know about everything. And the work that those folks do to serve the rest of the community is a sacrifice, and I think that we need to take advantage of that as much as possible on the assembly.
Thank you, Ms. Like. Mr. Rensel.
I think having a good working relationship with the commissioners is vital in conducting borough business. I mean, they're the ones that gather information and knowledge and pass it on to us, and then we use that in order to make decisions that affect everybody. So it's critical that we are working together for the borough and not against each other.
Thank you, Mr. Rensel. Next, we'll hear from candidates running for seat G. We will begin with Mr. Bartos.
The same question?
But say, we already did that.
Oh, forgive me, please. We're on to question 4 now. Forgive me.
I can do it.
You get to answer it twice after hearing the rest of the people. Okay. Question number 4. The Borough is expecting to see a major increase in new housing with the arrival of the F-35. Considering borough building codes and current laws about our road service areas, how do you plan to address public safety and well-being for incoming families? We will begin with Mr. Rensel.
I think public safety is foremost and real critical, and dealing and having roads that people can drive on safely is an important thing that the borough does, and I think it's one of the things that would be top of my list.
Thank you, Mr. Renzel. Ms. Like?
I think that one of the good things about the way that we raise more revenue with these additional homes coming on onto the tax rolls is that we're going to need to reinvest a lot of that money right back where those houses are. So as much as we can do to make that a community, we need to. I think that, you know, the regional growth plan expects that most people will be moving to 99705 North Pole area, and I think that we need to get input from those folks about what the solutions they need to for their roads and their public safety.
Thank you, Ms. Like. Next, we will hear from candidates running for seat A. We will begin with Ms. Sanford.
So the Eielson growth plan that that came out did suggest that the housing that is probably going to be developed is not going to be within the actual city of North Pole. So it's going to the public safety element is probably going to fall on the Alaska State Troopers, and that is a role that you know, they're already underfunded, and that's going to be something that, as a borough assembly member, we're going to have to advocate for continued funding and good funding at a state level. I do think that working with the Cold Climate Housing Commission is something that we should consider when looking at building codes and looking at ways to incentivize the homes that are going to be going into that area, because I think one of the critical issues with that amount of housing is going to be the air quality issue.
Thank you, Ms. Sanford. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Tuck.
I'm going to have to agree with Ms. Sanford on most of what she said, really. That's an easy answer. My only other thought that I would add to that, yes, the air quality issue is a huge issue, and the current modeling does not really address the increase in the population that's moving there. So I have a large concern, huge concern about what will happen with 2,500 to 3,000 people moving to that area. It's more of a health concern, I would think, than a safety concern. And of course, we still will have to address fire service areas. We would definitely have to offer fire service to those homes that hopefully are built.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Now we will hear from candidates running for seat G. We will begin with Mr. Bartos.
I've been in the real estate business in the North Pole area for about 33 years, and you ask about building codes. Well, the borough doesn't have any building codes. The only building code enforcement is done by the banks. If a house isn't built and inspected and it doesn't meet the uniform building code, then the banks are reluctant to loan on that property. So, you know, the borough needs to look at that and maybe get engaged in that arena. I don't know if we can afford to do that or not, but it's something that we should evaluate. When we have new people coming into this community, they deserve to have clean, energy-efficient housing. And the more energy-efficient housing that we have, then the less pollution that's going to be developed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos. Ms. Williams.
Thank you. One of the great strengths of the borough is that we have some spectacular staff working for the borough, and they have been working very hard to start the planning process for the expected new growth. And among the things that they have considered are plowing and where fire service areas going to be. So as an assembly member, I would certainly rely on the analysis that they have done already to inform my decision making. I absolutely agree with Mr. Bartos. We need to focus on making sure that new buildings, in whatever way we can, whether it's by ordinance or by realtors, are as energy efficient as possible so that people who need to burn wood or who have to burn wood burn less wood and put less pollution into the environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
As an elected official, you'll be faced with decisions that may divide this community, such as how to reduce harmful PM2.5 air pollution, which now has us listed as the most polluted city in the U.S. How would you work with the various areas and diverse populations in the borough and make difficult decisions on this issue so the community doesn't suffer more severe economic and health consequences? We will begin with Ms. Light.
I think that is like our absolute toughest question. I think that myself, I know that I think that as much as we can have the borough and local control involved with the PM 2.5 and our air quality issues is great. I think that we saw that collaboration here a couple weeks ago when the assembly approved funding to do a study about the electrostatic precipitators to see if that is something that we can put on people's smokestacks to clean our air. And I think that the only way we solve these problems is cooperating.
Thank you, Ms. Like. Mr. Renzel.
Cooperation is the key. We've all got to work together to get us out of this issue. However, there's time to talk, and then there's a time for action. And this has been going on for so many years, it's not even funny. And it's time that the residents of this borough put something into action and do it and get it done. We did have a start here the other week when they voted to test these precipitators. This stuff should have been done years ago. And it's time that we act and not talk.
Thank you, Mr. Renzel. Next, we will hear from candidates in seat G. We'll begin with Ms. Williams.
Thank you. When we're faced with difficult decisions, it is very important that we listen to affected groups and actively listen, not just hold meetings and then go back and do the same thing we were doing. In my work at the university, I have a lot of experience working with people with very varied opinions to try to build consensus. In terms of the specific issue of PM 2.5, one of my concerns is making sure that the assembly facilitates people doing the right thing. So if you have spent the money to put in a fancy clean-burning masonry heater, then let's support your being able to use that heater. And as a community, we have to come together during times of bad inversions and together choose to not burn when it's possible if you have another source of heat to protect all our health.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Bartos.
Well, this is one of the hardest questions, the PM 2.5. And I live out in North Pole in the Triangle of Death, and I'm a senior citizen, one of the most vulnerable groups. And I want to see clean air. You know, my health depends on it. However, I have a wood stove and an outdoor wood boiler. They're all EPA approved, they're updated, and I like to burn wood instead of oil. But we have to do it properly. And the only thing that's going to really save us or save that area, in 2015 they put pipe in front of my house. I'm worried that that pipe may rot before we get gas in it. So I want to see gas come, and I need this community needs to start kicking and screaming so that we get gas here at an affordable price. That's what's going to help our air quality in our community.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos. Next, we'll hear from candidates in seat A. We'll begin with Mr. Tuck.
Absolutely, gas is the answer. I also have some fears about when it will be available, and when it is available, it is going to have to be affordable. At the current conversion rates that we're looking at, I think they're very optimistic unless it is an affordable product. But I do see that as the long-term solution to the PM 2.5 issue. A lot of people have been talking about the ESPs. It's taken us 6 years to get to this point of just studying it. I met with the Air Quality Division in April, along with Ms. Olson, and we were told it was about a $50,000 study. Now it's up to $458,000. Money well spent, even if it is $458,000, but we need to see if these devices will work. I am hopeful that they will.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Ms. Hanford.
I actually also agree that gas is our best long-term option. But one of the things that I've noticed about a lot of the working groups and stakeholders groups is that all of the options, which I agree need to be looked at, that are painful, are missing a key group. So I did apply for the Borough Changeout Program. I'm not in the Triangle of Death, so I didn't get any money for it. But I can afford to change out my heater, and I did. The people that can't afford to burn dry wood, the people who can't afford to not burn coal, the people who cannot afford to avail themselves of those programs are going to continue to burn what they do. And unless we get them on board and find a way to serve them, we're not doing our job. So my interest is empowering that group of people to tell us, how are we going to get you and get us to work together?
Thank you, Ms. Sanford.
We will present you with a few questions from the audience. Candidates, you will have 30 seconds to respond to audience questions. And the first one will be going to Ms. Williams. You will all answer the same questions, but we start with Ms. Williams. Do you support maintaining local control of the air quality program? How do you feel about Prop 4?
I absolutely support maintaining local control. I think it is critical, and I will not be voting for Prop 4.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Bartos?
We don't have local control. You know, they say that we have local control, but the EPA sets the controls that we must follow. The DEC further enforces those controls from the EPA, which is based on the National Air Quality Standards. So we don't have local control other than enforcement. Now, the borough has to spend the money on the enforcement issues to see that we have local control, but we don't.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos. Next, we will hear from Marna Sanford, running for Assembly Seat A.
I had to do my mantra in my head on my prop. I'm a no on 4. And if the borough loses control of the ability to regulate and work on air quality, the EPA will be looking at finding the largest single source, which is GVEA. And I will tell you that GVEA will be sure, I'm assuming, to pass that savings along to you. So we have to look at where we want to pay for this. Do we want to pay?
Thank you, Ms. Sanford. Mr. Tuck.
I wish we did have local control. We did for a number of years, but I don't feel we do now. It almost seems like we're in paralysis trying to move on this issue. The ESP is my example of why six years just thinking about it. Now we're finally getting around to doing it.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Next, we will hear from candidates running for seat F. We will begin with Mr. Renzel.
As has been stated before, we don't have control. The federal government has control. The state has control. They tell us what to do. It makes it look like we've got control, but we don't. And as far as voting on the Proposition 4, I'm going to be voting no.
Thank you, Mr. Renzel.
I mean, yes, I'm sorry. We've got so many propositions flying around.
You have to have your
That's
mantra.
On 4.
You have to have your mantra.
Thank you, Mr. Renzel. Ms. Like.
I believe the borough should have as much local control as we can do, and that means we have an assembly where we have public comment and we find out what our residents want. I plan to vote no on Proposition 4. I think our borough should still have that role.
Thank you, Ms. Like.
The next audience question, what strategies would you be open to address deferred maintenance? And we'll begin with Mr. Tuck.
The first thing that should be done immediately is to put in some type of asset management program, i.e. Maximo. I can't believe that we don't have a program like that in place. There's no way you can manage over 200 properties, facilities, without that. That being said, it would also prioritize the issues that we have so that we could address them in a more manageable way.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Ms. Sanford?
I agree that we need to assess and then prioritize. Under the current revenue cap, if we are going to attempt to address the kinds of issues that we have that warrants a bond package, we are going to be looking at cutting valuable community services, such as our Parks and Recreation Department, our libraries, the kinds of things that make this a wonderful community. So I would encourage you to vote yes on one.
Thank you, Ms. Sanford. Next, we'll hear from candidates in seat G. Mr. Bartos, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to vote no on one and two. I think the borough has not kept up with the deferred maintenance issues that we've been facing. You know, when the price of oil is high and we get a lot of municipal assistance and revenue sharing money, that's when in the past we kept up with it. As that money has dwindled, we have focused on other things and other issues and let deferred maintenance go. And I think that has been a big mistake. We need a computer program to do it instead of the back of an envelope.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos. Ms. Williams.
Unfortunately, we have let our buildings go, and we haven't been willing to pay for regular maintenance. And now we're in a real pickle because we have a lot of maintaining we need to do, and it's going to cost a lot of money. There's no space in the revenue cap right now to do that maintenance. So I will be supporting Proposition 2 that gives us a little bit of space outside the constraints of the revenue cap to take in money specifically for the purpose of maintaining our buildings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Next, we will hear from Jeffrey Rensel, running for seat F.
I think it's critical that we sit down and figure out just exactly what buildings we have, what we need, and prioritize the maintenance on those buildings. We don't need bond packages. We don't need to go outside tax cap. Live within our means and live with the money that we've got.
Thank you, Mr. Rensel. Ms. Light.
I think that, like others have said, we do need to prioritize how we deal with the maintenance. And I do support both Proposition 1 and Proposition 2, and I think that will give us time to really get those things in order. But I think what we need to do is we need to have that in order so then we can see what we need in the future.
Thank you, Ms. Light.
How important do you consider the services of the Parks and Rec Department to borough residents? We will start with Ms. Sanford.
So obviously, maybe by my last answer, you have guessed that I think some of those programs, such as Parks and Rec, such as our community buildings that are used by everyone, are what is critical to Fairbanks, what is critical to maintaining our quality of life in Fairbanks. We have to be able to continue to have those things to bring investment in, to attract the quality of people that come to fill the jobs. We have to have those things. Or why would you ever want to live in Fairbanks if you don't have all...
Thank you, Ms. Sanford. Mr. Tuck.
Yes, Parks and Rec, I believe, makes for a very vibrant community, and it's needed. I do believe that we're going to have to prioritize on the items across the board, which some items in Parks and Rec will have to be reviewed. Also, I think that we should have a private public partnership on a few properties that we manage here in the borough.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Next, we will hear from candidates in seat F, and we will begin with Ms. Like.
I absolutely support Parks and Rec here. I think that if it wasn't for the ski lessons I got at Birch Hill, that I probably wouldn't have survived 8 winters up here. So I think that it's a huge quality of life thing, and it really does keep a lot of us here.
Thank you, Ms. Like. Mr. Rensel.
I think it is a very important part of life in Fairbanks. These long, cold winter nights, and we need something to do, and that does provide a out for our children. and are the adults alike. We may have to pare back on some of those services, but I think they are necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Rentel. Now we'll hear from candidates in seat G, and we'll begin with Ms. Williams.
Thank you. Parks and Rec forms an integral thread throughout our community. Without them, our borough would be empty. We wouldn't have places for our children and our adults to ski, to play hockey, to swim. We wouldn't have places that are attractive to tourists like Pioneer Park that also serve the needs of locals. I absolutely support the mission of Parks and Recreation, and we would be poorer without it.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Bartos.
Parks and Recreation is one of my highest priorities. I have grandchildren in this community, and they enjoy the pools, the hockey rinks, the ball fields. We do not have enough ice in this community. If you go out on Saturday and Sundays on a summer day, that area is completely packed with kids playing games, and they get up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning to go skate because of the limited ice that we have. We need to put more emphasis there.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos.
Candidates will now present their closing statements. You have 1 minute, and we will begin with Mr. Tuck.
I think I started. Okay.
That's right.
Thank you. 1 minute. I would just like to thank everyone again for attending, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I will keep it very short because I only have a minute, probably 30 seconds now. I go back to my mom and dad, what they had taught me years ago, and it's always stuck with me and served me well. One, always listen to everyone because everyone has a story to tell, so listen. I think you probably heard the mayor say, keep your mouth shut. And secondly, always act with a good heart. Never act or vote on something without getting all the facts and also knowing that you're acting with a good heart when you do vote.
Thank you, Mr. Tuck. Ms. Sanford.
I'm pleased to hear everyone up here supports Parks and Recreation, but part of the reason why I am running is to ensure that all Fairbanks North Star Borough residents have good public spaces. Public-private partnerships are well and good, but it costs a lot of money to run facilities like pools and hockey rinks and event centers, and most of those have to be subsidized by the public to ensure them and ensure their longevity in the community. Those are the kinds of things that I'm going to fight for on the borough. We are going to have to make cuts. The borough residents get to decide how much money we're going to get, and we're going to have to make those hard decisions. So hold whoever you vote for, hold everyone to their love of parks and recreation, because sometimes those are seen as low-hanging fruit. So I will say that my time as a lawyer has helped me become a good consensus builder, so I would love to work with whoever is elected, and I hope it's me. But thank you so much for coming out and staying late on a work night. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sanford. Next, we will hear closing arguments from candidates for seat F, and we will begin with Mr. Rentel.
First off, I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for putting this forum on. I'd like to thank everybody in the audience and listening on the radio. We need to have total community participation. The decisions that individuals make sitting where I'm sitting right now affect everybody every day. We are the government in your backyard, and we need to be responsible to you. So when you decide who you're going to put up here, make a very wise decision and choose that person based on what they can do for the community and what they can do for you. Thank you for your support, and I hope I get it October 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. Rentel. Ms. Light.
I jotted down a couple words, and listen and care. I think that what we need to do is listen to everyone. We need to get input from everyone, and then we need to care for everyone else as we care for ourselves. It's kind of the golden rule. I think that we're going to be we're definitely looking at a big jam as far as how do we continue to maintain the services and how do we deal with the pressures that people are feeling economically. And that is a task that I feel like I'm up to. I know it's a hard task, and I'd ask that you'd vote for me on October 2nd to do that hard work. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Like. Finally, we will hear from candidates running for seat G, and we will begin with Mr. Bartos.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and for all those that sit up here and are competing as a candidate. I think that experience counts if you don't try ignorance. With experience, I think that we can do better than what we've done in the past. I'd also like to address the issue that came up in this morning's paper with me on the front page. I think that was not a fair assessment of what has happened at ICE Alaska. I was the president of the board for a number of years. This ICE park survived for over 27 years as a benefit to this community, and now they've got a new regime in, and to attack those that have been there, I think is not fair. I think after you listen to what everything and you know, the court case and everything, that me and the others that were there will be completely absolved of any wrongdoing whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bartos.
Ms. Williams.
Thank you. I thank the League of Women Voters again for putting on such a professional forum. I really appreciate the opportunity to hear from everyone that's running for assembly and the mayoral candidates previously. I am excited to serve you on the assembly. We have a fabulous borough. It's a lot of hard work to help make decisions about it, and I am willing to look at all of the information that comes to the borough in the 400-page assembly packets, and I believe that I have the ability to synthesize all of the disparate data that comes in and the communications from the community to make the right decisions for you. I think we have a clear choice before us, and I think that the community needs an assembly that represents everyone with new faces and new ways of thinking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Thank you, candidates, audience members, and those listening over the air tonight for your active participation in the election process. The purpose of this forum is to raise voter awareness on candidates' positions. We've asked our questions. Now it's your turn. Please take time, do your research, and if you still have questions, reach out to our local candidates before the October 2nd election. A reminder that the borough ballot will also contain four propositions. To learn more about these propositions, please visit the borough website. A reminder to voters that the Fairbanks municipal election is Tuesday, October 2nd. Early and in-person absentee voting is happening now. The League of Women Voters of Tanana Valley wishes to thank the Fairbanks North Star Borough and KUAC for their support of tonight's forum. For more information about the League of Women Voters, please visit our website, www.lwvalaska.org, or check us out on Facebook. Thank you again, candidates. Good night and good luck.